Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Our Lady of America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on page 4, volume 9, October 29th, 1910. My daughter Louisa, I was scourging and destroying cities and burying human lives. This is why I have not come, basically to reveal himself to Louisa. He says, on this day of respite for them, I shall take up the scourge in my hand once again. I immediately come to see you, Louisa, and again, you must know. So this is a command from Jesus. You must know this. That if I did not renew, first, the things done with purity of intention, second, the upright works of man, and third, everything that is done for love of me, I, God, would fail to do the duty of justice, and all the other of my attributes would remain obscured. So Jesus says this, okay, this is important for us. This is how God wants us to live in the divine will. First, to do everything with purity of intention. Okay, so why are you washing the dishes? Because I want to do this with the purity of intention for you, Lord. Why am I swimming? Lord Jesus, I want to do this with the purity of intention for you, O Lord. Jesus, you swim in my swimming. You know, brushing your teeth. I, Jesus, want to do this with purity of intention of you, Jesus, brushing my teeth and my brushing of my teeth. Second, for an upright work, I want to do this for the glory of God. I want to do this for the love of God. I want to do this for the praise of God. And third, everything that is done for love of me. So whether you are washing the dishes or walking down the road or driving your car, I want to do this for the love of Jesus. So this is what Jesus is saying. This is how he is renewing the face of the earth and how he needs us to do it as well. So he says, I would fail my duty of justice and all of my other attributes would remain obscured. Therefore, these are the three things, most powerful weapons to destroy this poisonous and infernal slobber of disturbance. So what the devil does is the devil tries to destroy us. He tries to mislead us. He tries to misguide us. Okay, how does that happen? Well, newspaper, magazines, television, radio, internet, your annoying neighbors. I'm not saying that because they're annoying, but people are always complaining about their neighbors. Your family who dislikes you. What Jesus is saying, everything that's happening, he's allowing. Why? It's because he wants us to destroy this poisonous, infernal, slobbering disturbance that is happening to everybody. Everybody has trouble with their family, especially when somebody dies, or if there's any money involved. It's a riot to watch everybody scrambling over. I remember this one person was very, very wealthy, and when their mother died, he went in and took everything. And the rest of the family had nothing. And he says, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. And it hurt the entire family. Jesus says, I want you to do everything with the purity of intention. I want you to do everything with upright works. I want you to do everything for the love of God. So this is what Jesus is asking. Don't continue to live in a situation that is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Sorry. He says, to destroy all the poison that's around you. How? By doing everything with the purity of intention. By doing everything with upright works. By doing everything for the love of God. See, that's where happiness comes in. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do against you. What matters is that you do this for the love of God. You do this for, for upright works, good intention. You do this for the purity of intention. So the more that we learn how to do this, and we learn how to do this by doing it. It's not, you know, oh, God, give me the grace. Jesus says, do it with purity of intention. Do it for the love of God. Do it as a glory to God, no matter what you're doing. So whether you're mowing the lawn, whether you are sleeping in a hammock, whatever you do, I want to do this with purity of intention. I want to do this. These are the three gifts that Jesus wants us to do. So he says, so it is necessary to chastise those who force me not to come for a few days. He says, this heir of hell wanted to invest you. But these the three weapons. First, purity of intention. Second, work of intention, upright and good in itself. And third, sacrificing yourself for me with the sole purpose of loving me. You, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, shall defeat any disturbance and shall cast it away into the deepest part of hell. See, it's like the bell. As soon as you ring the bell, the demons have to obey every prayer that the priest prayed. I mean, that the seven Psalms, every word, that one ding of the bell, the demons go, they hear everything that was prayed, and they take off. If you ring it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, then they really take off. If you ring one, if you get two of them, it's really a lot of fun. Because what happens is the angels come and take their place. You see, God has given us freedom. God has given us the gifts of the church. God has given us the sacraments of the church. God has given us the sacramentals of the church. And if you don't have holy water, grab an empty bottle and fill it up out there. Bring exercise holy water home. A drop of that water, St. Teresa says, the demons will flee and won't come back. They might send reinforcements, but those guys can't come back because they have to obey all the words of the priest. And with the exercise salt and exercise water, see, I can bless water right now. If I had water right here, I could say, may this water be blessed and all who use it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That's blessed water. Exercise water has 16 blessings, and it tells the demons basically to go back to where they come from. This is the power of the priesthood. And when you have this, again, you don't have to worry about anything. Exercise salt. I mentioned this before, but one girl came over to a friend's house and she was suicidal and she's panicking. And she says, I can't take it. She goes into the bathroom and my friend took a couple granulars of salt and put it in her coffee and said, Lord Jesus, heal her. She came back, took a sip of the cup of coffee and she goes, I feel so much better. That's how quick. I remember the first time I used exercise holy water. I was in a parish. I went into the school and this little girl come running up towards me and I hit her with holy water right in the face. She vomited right there. The nun threw me out of the room. What did you do to that little girl? I said, hey, I'll just sprinkle holy water on her. I come back 2 weeks later and the nun said to me, I don't know what you did, but this girl is changed. See, it's the demons have to obey what the priest says. I remember being around possessed people, and it's not a fun thing to do, but the power of the priesthood is so amazing that the demons must obey. For a layperson to get involved in deliverance, for a layperson to get involved in exorcisms, God help you. You don't see, a priest receives the power of the angels, the angelic power, the center of the choirs of angels. That's the power they receive. It's not human power. It's angelic power that the demons must obey. So again, this is the same thing here. Jesus is saying to us, look it, use the power, use the weapons. Okay, the main weapon that we have is the Holy Rosary. And if you can pray all four rosaries, all four mysteries, good. I mean, that's, you know, what is it, 200 Hail Marys, good. John Paul II prayed the entire rosary every day. As a matter of fact, Pope Francis said he was the one, John Paul II, watching John Paul II pray the rosary that convinced him, the Pope, to say the rosary, the whole rosary, all day. The first most powerful prayer is the Holy Mass. The second most powerful prayer is the rosary. The third, scapular. Then you have exercise holy water, exercise oil, exercise salt, exercise bells. I mean, the power that God has given us is really, get to know this. You, he says, shall defeat any disturbance, and you shall cast away these disturbances into the deepest part of hell. Let's look at when you get upset, when you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, you're complaining, when you're negative. You seem not to be able to deal with the situation. Use the treasures of the church. Use the weapons of the church. Now use these three weapons that Jesus tells us to use. I mean, get to know what they are and to put them into practice. Volume 9, November 1st, 1910. Many times I have surrendered to you, Louisa, but not by not chastising the world. See, Louisa says, don't hurt them, hurt me. I mean, this is what Louisa did. But you have not surrendered to me to the point that I am God, forced to hide from you in order to free when the divine justice forces me and men to reach the point of provoking me to take up the scourge in my hand and chastise the peoples. If I had you, Louisa, with me, with my will in the act of scourging, I would probably have fallen short and diminished the scourge. Because there is no greater power in heaven, no greater power on earth, than a soul who is totally and completely consumed in my most holy divine will. That's Louisa. Listen to what he says. Louisa, you have the greatest power in heaven. Now that's not saying she's got greater power than the Blessed Mother. Mary, Our Lady's Theotokos, she's the mother and queen of the holy divine will. But you have the greatest power in heaven, Louisa, on earth, and because you are totally and completely consumed in my divine will. There is no prayer that cannot be answered by the souls living in the divine will. This is why we're not upset when things go wrong. Last night, like I said, the witches, cursed the president, hexed him, puts, hexes on him. One mass, it's gone. Everything that they threw at him went back to them. He is completely free. This is the power of the church. This is why it's so important. So he says, Louisa reaches the point of debilitating me, God. Louisa disarms me, God, as Louisa pleases. This is the supreme unity. This is what God wants. So he's showing us this great gift. And he's asking us, do you want to participate in this? Volume 10, January 10th, 1911. My daughter Louisa, the point that I, God, care most about is that I, God, can cherish the most is to detach the priest perfectly from his family. Let them give everything they have to their families, keeping it for themselves, only that which is personal they can keep. But that's basically your prayer book, your crucifix. And since they are to be maintained by the church, by Holy Mother Church, justice demands that things must end up where they are, where they can come from, and that is everything that they may have must serve to maintain themselves and to expand the works of the church for my glory and for the good of the people. So Jesus says, priests don't have to make an income. You don't have to do that. He says, the church is going to take care of them. And he says, therefore, justice says very clearly, they must serve to maintain themselves, to expand the works for my glory and for the good of souls. So this is what God's going to do. He said he's going to redo the priesthood. The priesthood, as we all know, the rectories are envent. The rectories are empty. The hospitals, the psychiatric units, the prisons are full. Why? Because it's the priest's job to empty them. And Jesus says, I'm going to change the priesthood. I'm going to make it the way I want it to be made. So don't get upset with your priest. Pray for the priest that they can embrace the divine will and be ready to move when God tells them to move. To be ready to, as he says, everything for his glory, everything for the good of the souls. Volume 10, June 23rd, 1911. I myself, I am love. This is God's title. I love so much the one who loves me in everything and who does everything out of love, and that woe to those who touch him. I, God, shall make them be burned by the fire of my terrible justice. See, if you are close to God, that fire will be ecstasy. If you are away from God, that fire will cause you to wail and grind your teeth. He says, I am love. I am so much love that the one who loves me, and that should be us with Louisa, and who does everything out of love, that's what he taught us just a couple paragraphs ago. Woe to those souls who even touch that person. I, God, will make those souls who hurt you, Louisa, and the souls linked to you, Louisa, will be burned by the fire of terrible justice. So again, there's nothing to worry about. It doesn't matter if you're hated, despised, rejected, spit upon, laughed at, ridiculed. That's what Jesus wants. Volume 10, October 17, 1911. When I, Jesus, keep you, Louisa, inside of me, I, Jesus, alone enjoy you. And when I, Jesus, put you out from everyone so that everyone enjoys you, he says, you can take defense of your brothers. You can plead for them. You can have them spared. So much so that the saints in heaven say that I, God, contend you, Louisa, more than the saints in heaven. And that I, God, take more taste from your love, Louisa, than from the saints in heaven. See, that's why Father Bucci says, Louisa, Louisa la Santa, Louisa the saint that she was known of. That's how they called her when she was alive. The church is going to recognize Louisa as the saint of the church. Because, see, she's not loving in a human sanctity. She's loving God with a divine sanctity. This is the gift that God gave to her. He says very, very clearly, and I say to the saints in heaven that I do this with love, with justice, because you, Louisa, you can share in my pains, but I cannot share with them in heaven. Why? Because the saints in heaven cannot suffer. You, Louisa, on earth can suffer. Therefore, he says, I can share my pains with you. And since you are a pilgrim soul, you can take the pains of others on earth as well as mine upon yourself. And by this, you have the strength to disarm me, unless I did not want to. Like last week. He's so funny. Like last week, I bound your arms so very tightly that you might not oppose my holy divine will. But they no longer have these weapons in their power, so much so that I have to chastise mankind. And I must hide from you, Louisa, who can come up with something to stop me, but not from them. I cannot be stopped by them. Sorry. Volume 11, October 14th, 1912. My daughter Louisa, the times are so sad that my justice reaches the point of rejecting the chosen souls who would take the lightning upon themselves, preventing it from falling on the world. These souls are the dearest victims of my sacred heart. The world forces me to keep them almost inactive. But this is not because of their lack of activity, since in being my holy divine will, they do everything. Well, it seems that they do nothing. Rather, they embrace the divine immensity and divine eternity. But the world, from its own wickedness, does not enjoy the effects that these little children of the holy divine will, the victim souls, bring about. So he's saying the world has to be punished. And again, to understand this, read what Jesus said to Saint Faustina. He says, I'm going to give to the world a time of mercy. I remember reading that in the 70s, and I said, what is the time of mercy? This is when St. Faustina was forbidden to be read. I had the book. Somehow I got the book. And it says, Jesus says that I'm going to give to the world a time of mercy. And I kept on saying, how is the world going to know that this is the time of mercy? How are we going to know? And it was very simple. God had it all planned. The Holy Father said, we're going to have a jubilee year of mercy. The whole world knew it. And then he said to St. Faustina, after the time of mercy that I give to the world, then I'm going to give the world the time for justice. And that means everybody gets what they deserve. That's what it means. And he said, the road to hell is very wide and few find it. The road to heaven is very narrow. The road to hell is very wide and many travel it. The road to hell, heaven is very narrow and few find it. So way back in the 70s, I knew there was going to be a time of mercy. Last year was the year of mercy. He says, when it ends, he says, then will come the time of justice. I believe what he said to St. Faustina. And what he said to Louisa is, there will be mercy, and then there will, you, Louisa, will bring divine justice to the earth. This is the whole reason we're focusing on divine justice. And that's why those purple books over there are very important to read this year. This year. If you read it next year, I really believe it'll be too late. Because, you know, it'll be basically after the fact, it seems. So Jesus says this in volume 11, October 14th. You know, how I, God, would love even one single soul for each town that the hours of my passion. How I, God, would hear myself in every town, my divine justice, greatly indignant during these times, but I would remain partially appeased. So again, that goes back to what we were saying earlier. If you can get your people to pray the 24 hours of the Passion this Lent, Jesus says, the justice of God will be lessened, partly appeased in every town where this is read. You know, if you get your family to read the hours of the Passion, they will begin to understand Louisa. And the hard part is people have all the other things they want to do. So don't get disappointed when most people say, I don't want to read the hours of the Passion. You read the hours of the Passion and say to Jesus, bring to me the souls who want to read the hours of the Passion, and I will get them the books. And that's so important. Volume 11, December 21st, 1914, my daughter, Louisa, I can't take the world anymore. This is 1914. Relieve me for everyone. Let me palpitate in your heart, Louisa, so that in hearing the heartbeats of all mankind through the heartbeats of your heart, Louisa, sins may not come to me directly but indirectly through your heart. Otherwise, my justice shall send chastisements never before seen. So what happened after World War I? And this is basically the prayers of mankind stopping World War I. And what happened was the terrible plague of influenza killed more people than during the war. See, that's close. You have to understand, who's the guy, who's the most wealthiest person on earth? He did Microsoft. Yeah, he said last week that tens of millions of people are going to die soon. What does he know that we don't know? He said that last week. Tens of millions of people are going to die quickly. Now, you have to understand, sometimes God gives insight to people to get them to understand that God is warning us. And either we turn to God and pray, turn to God and get through what's coming, or participate in what's coming. I mean, we are his children. He wants to take care of us. He needs to take care of us. He says very clearly, otherwise my justice shall send out chastisements never before seen. Never before seen. Now, again, this is 1914. Then we had World War II. Then we had the Korean War. Then we had Vietnam. Then we had the wars in the East. The people, the amount of chastisements are coming. And why? Because we're killing our babies. We're not even letting life begin to take place because of artificial means of birth control. Many families do not have the children that they should have had. These are souls that God had planned. And because of artificial means of birth control, these souls were denied life. I mean, he says very clearly, I can't take the world anymore. Volume 11, March 6, 1915. My daughter Louisa, do you perhaps want me to operate as before when I not only commanded you to remain still, but I also tied you in such a way that you could not come around if not for obedience? Okay, what does that mean? Every night, Louisa would be perfectly rigid, so rigid that no one could move her. She became heavier than 2 tons. Nobody could move her. And in the morning, the priest would come back and touch her by saying, "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One." And then she would come back to her senses. She would be relieved of this command, this being tied, if you want to say. And Jesus, it was really funny. When you go to Corrado, you'll see in her drawers there that are her socks. And their socks were holy and they were dirty. They were filthy, like she was walking in mud. And I kept on saying, well, why don't they just give her a nice pair of socks? I never thought, why are they muddy and why are they holy? I just thought, well, it must be somebody's old socks that they didn't want. But every night, Jesus took Louisa throughout the universe. And they traveled the entire universe. And he showed them what is going to happen when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. No eye has seen, no ear has heard the glory that's coming. He says, if I did this now, my love would be constrained and my justice would find an obstacle in pouring itself out completely on the creatures. And you might say to me, just as you kept me tied as victim of suffering of love for you, for the creatures, I tie you so as to stop your justice from pouring itself out upon creatures. So here Jesus shows Jesus was in control of Louisa and Louisa was in control of Jesus. So should everything be compromised, the wars, the preparation, and other nations that are making to go to war? If I can't, I can't, he says. At the most, if you want to remain tied, or if the confessor wants you to keep so, if you do so, I, God, shall have some regard for Corrado. And I, God, shall save something of Corrado. But in the meantime, things get tighter. And my justice does not want you, Luis, in the state of appeasement at all, and in order to soon send more chastisements to the world, to make other nations go to war, and to lower the pride of souls who shall find defeats where they believe to find victories. Alas, my love cries, but my justice demands satisfaction. That's really funny. In 1994... a pilot, see, there was an air base right north, American air base right north of Corrado. And there was a pilot who said, this woman appeared in the sky as they're going to drop the bombs because it was too cloudy. They just had to drop the bombs. And they were over Corrado at the time. Instead of hitting the release, the Luisa appeared in the sky and she pushed the plane over to the Adriatic. And they dropped the bombs in the Adriatic before they landed. And he was there. And he witnessed to the fact that this picture, this was the woman who appeared in the sky. So even after World War I, Louisa was still there protecting what? Protecting Corrado. And he says, I will have some regard for Corrado. Some of Corrado will survive. You don't understand what's coming. Every town, every village worldwide is going to be affected. And like I said, we're not thinking about financial ruin. That's coming. We're not thinking about famine. That's coming. We're not thinking about lack of water, and that's coming. We're talking about cosmic events that have never been seen before. And so Jesus is saying to us, I want you to get ready. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to get ready. Turn your life over to me. Turn your life over to me. When these chastisements come, they will not affect you. Can you imagine, as Our Lady said, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have me, all you have left is suicide. Can you imagine the number of people who do not have Jesus Christ? What they're going to do. I mean, the rate of suicide today is unbelievable. I mean, just look at the nursing homes. This is not suicide, that's mercy killing. Look at the contraception, artificial means of birth control. People are denied life. Look at abortion. They are being killed by the millions. Jesus is saying, I'm going to receive. My love cries out. My justice demands satisfaction. Volume 11, May 2nd, 1915. What a cruel torment. Jesus was crying because he wanted to pour out his divine justice that prevented him from doing it. And I, Louisa, was crying and seeing Jesus cry because I, Louisa, could not help Jesus. There are no words to describe these pains. Sobbing, Jesus told me, "My daughter Louisa, sin snatches chastisements and wars from my hands. I am. God is forced to allow them to have war." And at the same time, I cry and suffer with the creature. I felt like dying for the pains, and Jesus wanted to distract me. And he added, "My daughter Louisa, don't lose heart. This too is in my holy divine will, because only the souls, listen to this, only the souls who can live in my divine will can comfort my divine justice. Only those souls who live in my divine will have free access to share in the divine decrees and plead for other brothers and sisters. Those who reside in my holy divine will possess all the fruits of my holy humanity, because my holy humanity had its limits, while my holy divine will has no limits. My humanity lived, my holy divine will drowned in my holy humanity, inside and out. Now these souls," that's us hopefully, linked to Louisa, "who live in my divine will are the closest souls to my holy humanity." This is what Jesus says. He says, when you read the three appeals, it says very clearly, "Oh, you are my most beloved of children." That's what he says. He says this, "These holy souls who live in my divine will are the closest souls to my holy humanity, making my holy humanity their own, because I, God, gave it to them, and they can present themselves before the divine being covered by my holy humanity, becoming like another me, so as to disarm the divine justice and plead forgiveness for the perverted brothers and sisters. As they live in my holy divine will, they live in me. And since I, God, live in everyone, they also live in everyone and for everyone." This is what we do with our prevening act in the morning. "They live hovering in the air like the sun, while their prayers, their acts, the reparations, and everything that they do are like the rays which descend from these souls, from these suns, S-U-N-S, for the good of all mankind." So living in the divine will is not trying to become a saint. That's not what the living in the divine will is. Jesus says to live in the divine will is to save the human generations. Jesus says, "You'll do far greater things than I." What does he mean by that? That means to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Volume 11, May 18th, 1915. "My daughter Louisa, do not use violence on me. My state is already violent in itself because of the grave sins, grave evils that the creatures suffer and shall suffer, but I must give justice its rights." So he said, "Louisa, don't tell me to stop this." He says, I have to purify the world. Volume 11, July 9th, 1915. On one hand, my holy humanity participated in the joys of my divinity. Therefore, my soul was blissful, happy, and its beatific vision never escaped it. On the other hand, my holy humanity had loaded upon itself the satisfaction on the part of all creatures before the divine justice. And it was tormented by the sight of all the sins, and having taken them up upon itself, in order to repair for these sins, it felt the horror of each sin with its own special torment. See, we're called to repair and redo in the divine will. That's what Jesus is expecting of us. Volume 11, July 25th, 1915. "All the misfortunes weigh down upon my heart, and I, God, remain transfixed. And in the face of these miseries, I, God, see that the divine justice wants to put more divine fury in the field against souls, unfortunately rebellious, unfortunately ungrateful souls. Further, who can tell you how unfortunate I am in love? Ah, creatures don't love me, and my great love is repaired repeatedly with offenses." So here, Jesus is showing us that we have to fall in love with God now. It's important for us to fall in love with God now. And that's why when we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, don't go there and read a book. Look at Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Adore Jesus. Love Jesus. Praise Jesus. Glorify Jesus. And what you'll see is that your love is very little, because you'll get bored. See, we have to literally fall in love with God. And He's given us this opportunity in front of the Blessed Sacrament. My daughter Louisa, in the midst of so many misfortunes, instead of consoling others, I want to be comforted. I, God, want around me the souls who love me. I, God, want to keep with me faithful company of all who offer their pains as a relief for my misfortunes, in order to plead grace for all the other poor, unfortunate souls. So He says, I want you to be with me. You are my most precious children. Depending on whether the souls are faithful to me in these times of scourges and misfortunes, when the divine justice shall be appeased, it shall reward the souls who remained faithful to me and who took part in my misfortunes. Sorry, excuse me. Now, August 11th, 1914, 1915. Now, during these times of chastisements, I am God, like a person who lives up in the air with no ground underneath. Between continuous blows, my divine justice knocks me from heaven, and the creatures with their guilt from the earth. Now, the more the soul remains around me, the more the soul kisses my wounds, the more the soul repairing for me, offering my blood, in a word, redoing all that I, God, did in the course of my life and my ever passion, the more supports the soul forms, so that I, God, can lean on them and not fall. And the larger the circle becomes in which the souls find the support not to fall into sin and be saved. Louisa, do not get tired, my daughter, of being around me, of going over my wounds over and over. I myself should administer the thought, the affections, the words, so that you, Louisa, may remain around me. Be faithful to me. Time is tight. Now, this is 1915. Time is short. Time is limited. And that's why when Our Lady appeared in 1947 to Bruno in Rome, Our Lady of Revelation said, time has come to an end. You have to understand, we're not going to live like this for thousands of years. The kingdom is coming. The fulfillment of our Father is coming. Justice wants to display its fury, Jesus says, and creatures who have irritated it. Therefore, it is necessary to multiply more supports. So, Louisa, do not fail the work. We are the supports for Jesus. In the divine will, Jesus has called us to be another support for Him so that He does not fall. I mean, this is... You, if you love your family, go to Jesus. Become what Jesus has called you to be. You are called to be multiplied, all of us together, as a support for Jesus and Mary. Through whom? Through Louisa. So it's not to give any glory to Louisa. It's to give all the glory, all the support, all the love to Jesus and Mary. Louisa's, again, she's a little nothing. Jesus says, I'm calling all my little nothings, that's us, linked to Louisa, to bring about this new era. Volume 11, October 2nd, 1915. My daughter Louisa, I, God, cannot take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. Again, he says it again. The creature, the souls have reached the brim. The souls fill me with such bitterness that my divine justice was in the act of decreeing the general destruction of mankind. You have to understand, this is 1915. My justice was in the act of decreeing the general destruction of mankind, as He did in the first pure purging, the flood. I'm sorry that I made man. And now He's saying, I have redeemed mankind and I am sorry I have made man. This is how miserable we are. God has redeemed us. Jesus has shed every drop of His blood for us. And yet we continue to live. I mean, we have Holy Mother Church. We have the Blessed Mother as our mother. We have the sacraments and sacramentals. And we are more sinful than, Our Lady said, than the time of the children of Noah's time. But you, Louisa, arrive in time to snatch a little bit of my bitterness away from me, so that my divine justice might still hold off. However, the chastisements shall spread more because of man. And man incites me. Man disposes me to fill him, almost stuffing him with sorrows and chastisements. Otherwise, he will not change his mind. God is going to bring everybody to their knees. What happened when 9/11 happened? For 3 weeks, the churches were filled. And then they stopped going to church. 3 weeks, everybody was praying. God is going to bring everybody to their knees again. You have to understand this. We're living a hedonistic lifestyle. And God is saying, stop it. Come back to me. And since mankind isn't, he says, I'll bring you to your knees to try to save you. So don't expect, you know, just la-di-da when it comes. We're going to trust God. Lord Jesus, we deserve this. Lord Jesus, you are King. You are Master. You are our Savior. We need to be on our knees to adore you and love you and praise you. Again, you have to understand, this is very, very important to Jesus. Volume 11, November 1st, my daughter Louisa, give me rest. Let me pour out my love. If justice wants its outpouring, it can do it with all creatures. But my love can pour itself only with the ones who love me. With Louisa, the one who was wounded by my same divine love, and Louisa, who is delirious in love. Louisa, who keeps seeking to pour out herself within my love. Louisa, asking me for more love. And if my love did not find Louisa, who would let me pour itself myself out? My justice would ignite even more, giving the last blow to destroy mankind. You have to understand, you don't kill babies and not get away with it. You don't live alternative lifestyles and not be punished. You don't, have what's going on in the world today and not be punished. Every thought, every word, every deed is going to be before us when we stand before God. He's going to look at us and he's going to say, this is your life. And none of us are going to say, well, I really was sick that day. God's going to say, we're going to say to Jesus, yes, you are right. You are right. And then he's going to say to us, do you deserve heaven or do you deserve hell? And we are the ones who are going to say where we're going to go. Because we all know the truth. Jesus doesn't send us to hell. And he really wants us. He says, Louisa, he says, you have to understand that the last blow to destroy mankind is almost here. Volume 11, November 21st, 1915. Sorry. Finding myself in my usual state, and that was suffering, I soon saw my always adorable Jesus, and I begged Jesus for pity's sake that he would change the decrees of divine justice. And I said to Jesus, my Jesus, I cannot take it anymore. My poor heart was crushed in hearing about so many tragedies. And Jesus said, enough. These are your dear images, your beloved children who moan and cry and ache under the weight of the instruments that are almost infernal. That's where we are today. And Jesus says, my daughter Louisa, yet all the terrible things that are happening now are only a sketch of the designs to come. You don't see what a large circle I am marking. What will happen when I will complete the design? At many points they shall say, here there was such a city. Here was such a building. Some points shall disappear completely. The time is tight. The time is short. The time is almost to an end, Jesus says. Mankind has reached the extent of forcing me, God, to chastise mankind. He wanted to almost challenge me, incite me, and I, God, remained patient. But all the times arrived, And they didn't want to recognize me through love of mercy, love and mercy. And therefore they shall know me through divine justice. And he says to Louisa, courage, do not lose heart. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.